good? Isn't it great to see our moms with of our church? That was awesome. In fact, you know what? I want you to know today that this is a tough sermon to preach. I'll tell you why. One is because I'm not a mom, okay? So when we start talking about what about mom and talking about a whole message on moms, I know that there's some experts out there that are critiquing everything that I'm saying and saying he does not know what he's talking about. And I'm so thankful that God gives us his word. And that's what I stand up here to declare and to preach, because God does know what you're going through, what's going on in your life. And I also know this, that even though we give one day to moms, that moms, you're really underappreciated and often overlooked. And you know, we don't really know all that you do. And it's not just the tough stuff. Last Sunday night, I was with our Awana Awards banquet over in our dining hall area, and I was talking to a couple of guys after the awards banquet, and one of our moms was walking out with a little girl, Holly, was walking out, and she looked at me and she said, "I think she has a dirty diaper. Would you like to help?" And I said, "No thanks, I think I'll pass." So I want you to understand, moms, that we know that you do a lot of things that we don't want to do, and you do a lot of things that we don't know anything about. I remember a couple years ago, one of our men walked up to me, and I was talking about something, and he said, "I understand you've got a magic basket too." And I said, "Magic basket, what is that?" And he said, "Well, you take these smelly, dirty clothes, you throw it in the basket, and then you come back, and they're back in the drawer, all folded up and clean and put away." I mean, somebody has worked in the magic basket, and we know you've done an awesome job. You know, this morning as I thought about it, I thought, you know, for a lot of people, this is a difficult day. And you know, whether you've lost a mom this past year, or, you know, you may have had a struggle with your children this past year, and maybe it was just bad relationships within the family that make it tense and tough. Maybe it's just some memories that keep flooding back into your soul at Mother's Day time that just gives you a challenge. And you know, so it's difficult for some to focus on Mother's Day. And it may be that Debbie just shared about Stevie, you know, this is a tough day in some ways because of that. Or James and Sarah Beth, who are over here. Well, Sarah Beth was over here. Oh, there she is. Okay. You know, this past year on the 15th of February, their little baby girl, Hope, passed away. But you know what makes all that better? It's Jesus. Jesus. And we worship on Sunday morning, and we celebrate the life that we have, and we can enjoy hope every single day because of Jesus. So no matter what you've gone through or what you've struggled with, or no matter what life situation you find yourself in, I want you to know there is hope, and that hope is found in the person of Jesus. And we can take in his word, and we can trust his word, and we can learn from his word. And that's what I want us to do today for a few minutes. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to take it and turn to Proverbs 31. And, you know, I want to answer three questions about an excellent wife, and a godly mom. And in Proverbs 31, down in verse 10 through the end of the chapter, the writer of Proverbs is sharing this this great insight and wisdom and a word of encouragement. And actually, you know, this is an acrostic. It's taking each verse is from the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's an awesome statement. And I just want to read it, and then I want to answer three questions. What does an excellent mom know? What does she do? And then who is she? And let's listen to this. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Listen to what he writes. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks, and she sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. And in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You know, this past that past month, my wife, when we get ready in the morning, we've got the news on, trying to catch up on the events of the day and what's going on. And while I was getting ready, she was watching this one program, and they did a report on moms and all the work that moms do. And they were saying if you were to total up all the jobs and tasks that moms do and actually pay them a fair wage for their work, that the average stay-at-home mom's salary would be $135,000 a year. And so, Mom, just go ahead and, you know, you can turn to your husband right now and say, okay, write the check. It's amazing all that you do, and it's amazing that all that goes on with you. But let me tell you something. This is what's interesting about this passage. When he starts this, he makes a very interesting statement. He said, a wife of noble character, who can find? He said, you know what? Just as rare, godly men are rare in this world, and godly women are as well. And so when you start thinking about this, he says, you know what? This is rare. It's not that you can't find one. It's not that you can't be one. But he wants you to understand that this is not the norm. And when we look around at the world sometimes, I think the thing that's drug us down the most and weights us down and gets us off track is we look at the world and how the world lives, and we think, you know what? That's really how I ought to live, and that's how I want to fit in, and I want to be like everybody else. But the truth is, we need to be what God wants us to be. And so I think there's some great insights here and answers here. I know when we read that, you may have thought to yourself, hey, I can't identify with that. Merchant ships and the distaff and spindle and, you know, her servant girls and all. I can't identify with that. You really can't identify with it. And I think by answering three questions, we can do that. And the first question is this: what does an excellent wife and a godly mom really know? What do they know? Well, I think there are four things he tells us. Number one, that her value is immeasurable. In verse 10, he says, she is worth far more than rubies. I mean, anything that you can measure of worth, anything that has this great sense of value and strength, that no matter what it is, how valuable it is, it's not as valuable as your life. It's not as valuable as your contribution. It's not as valuable as what you do. You know, one of the things that we enjoy here is having the privilege of having a Christian school. And we don't do that to be in competition with anybody. We do that to try to honor the Lord and give an opportunity for our parents that want to provide a Christian education and be a part of a Christian school to do that. And many of them do. In fact, over 1,300 students are enrolled for this next year. But one thing I always tell parents is this: we do not replace you. Mom, we do not replace you. We're not trying to replace you. And if you think that you just take your kids and send them to a Christian school and they're going to fix all their troubles and you're just going to take a back seat and say, I'm just going to pay somebody else to raise my kids, you miss the point. Because you are irreplaceable. God has given you the children that you have, and you're invaluable. I mean, your value is immeasurable. Second thing she knows is this: her treasure is trust. It says this: her husband has full confidence in her. Man, I really, really like that, because what she's saying is she knows that what really matters most is that she can be trusted. And you know what? That is really a cool thing. I remember when I was growing up, my mom was at home, and she stayed at home while we'd go to school and come home. Every day when we get off the bus, she's right there. And whenever we had a problem, whenever we had a struggle, you know, we would always go to Mom, and you could trust her. You know, she may not always do the right thing, I mean, meaning the thing that you wanted her to do, but she always did what was best because she loved you. You know, that's so awesome, isn't it, to know that you can trust someone with all of your heart. That's what Mom is. Number three, she knows that her husband is her closest friend. I love this. In verse 12, it says, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. You know what she's saying? He's saying she knows that she's not in this marriage and in this home as a rival. But some people treat it that way, don't they? I can remember being called to a house that was a member of a church, not this church, but when I was a student pastor, it was one of our student parents. And they said, hey, you need to come over quick. The police are at this house, and they need some pastoral counsel. And, you know, I was really only 21 years old, and I really didn't know what to do. But I rushed over to the house, and I got there, and he was laying on the floor. And literally, there was a flower pot broken in pieces laying right beside him. And I said, what happened? And she said, he got out of hand, and the next thing I know, I hit him over the head with a flower pot, and he's out. And the policeman said, what do you want to do? I said, man, I don't know. But you know what? Sometimes we treat our dearest, closest family as rivals. But the picture that we have in the scripture is this. She has her husband as her closest friend. In verse 12, listen to that. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Last thing is this. Her aim and accomplishments are good. I love that. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She's aiming the right things. She's accomplishing the right things. That's what she knows. What I'm pursuing is good. Now, let me tell you something. And this is not real popular today with a lot of people, but the truth is, the contribution you make in the lives of others is the greatest accomplishment that you can make in life. I mean, there are a lot of achievements, and we get a lot of excitement about accomplishments in life, acclaim, prestige, business accomplishments. But there is no greater accomplishment that you can make than when you pour your life into someone else and you see the marks of your life on theirs and you're leading them to live a life that honors Jesus. Man, that's what it's all about. Second question is this. What she does, what does she do? I mean, what does this lady do? Well, from verse 13 to verse 24, you know what it says? It basically says that she works hard at home and at work. That wherever she is diligent to the task. And she is working hard. You know what? It's hard work, but that's not the encouragement here. When you're a mom and when you're serving in a family, it's hard work. But the encouragement is more than that. It means to work hard. To work hard. To be involved. To give it your all. And to give it your best. You know what? That makes a big difference. Second thing is this. She takes pleasure in her work. I want you to look down in verse 13. It says this. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Works with eager hands. And then look in verse 17. It says, she sets about her work vigorously and her arms are strong for her tasks. Now, what's so neat about that passage, and it's really not seen sometimes in the English translation, but what she says is, you know what? Not just her effort is right, but her attitude is right. She takes delight in the work that she does. Now, I know sometimes it's not delightful work, but you can still take delight in the work that you do in impacting your children with the goodness and grace of God. You know, there is nothing like a mom that's pouring the life of Jesus into the lives of her children and taking delight in that every single day. Third thing, she keeps life in balance. In verse 17, it says, sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. And that doesn't mean that you go and work out in the backyard with some weights or do pull-ups or chin-ups. It means, you know what, you keep life in balance so that you can do the most important things in life. It's hard. It's one of the most challenging tasks in life, isn't it, to keep life in balance because there's so many demands and so many things pulling at us. But as a godly mom, a godly woman, one of the great challenges and the great successes for you is that you keep everything in balance, life in balance, so you're strong for the task. Number four, she shares with others. Down in verse 20, it's interesting what she says. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. You know, one of the things I remember about my mom, and there's a lot of expressions that she used to use that have stuck with me, and I find myself at times repeating those, not just to my son, but to other kids. And so if your student or son or daughter comes home and says, Pastor Tim told me this, I would love to take credit for a lot of those statements, but most of those came from my mom. And one of the things that she used to say, especially on days like this, on Mother's Day or at her birthday, is that you don't have to get me anything. You know, I don't know if your mom ever said it. You don't have to get me anything. Now, you understood what she was saying. I really don't want anything if you'll just show up at the house, okay? If you'll just come over, you really don't need to get me anything. But the truth was, you know what? She was willing to give more than she ever got. The blessing for her was poured into your life. And as a mom, that is the joy of life, that you're a giver. And then the fifth thing is this. She loves with her life and with her lifestyle. I want you to look down in verse 27. It says, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she doesn't just say that she loves you, she demonstrates it. She demonstrates it every day with the tasks that she does. And you know what? That's really amazing. It's really amazing how much a mom loves her kids. And you know what? I understand as an adult why when guys get on TV, they don't say, "Hi, Dad." They say, "Hi, Mom." It's because there's so many and so much that a mom does for children. She demonstrates every day with her life and lifestyle that she loves them. Now, third question. Who is she? Who is this woman that we call mom? Well, there's some things that they list here that are pretty cool. Number one, she's strong and honorable. She's strong and honorable. In verse 25, he says this. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. You know, that's really sweet to know that when you start depending on mom, you might think that she may be the weaker one, but the truth is she's really strong in heart and she's honorable in life. Number two, she's confident without being arrogant. Down in verse 25 again, it says this. She is clothed with dignity and strength, and she can laugh at the days to come. It's not saying that she laughs by not paying attention to what's coming in the future, but she's so prepared for what's coming in the future that she can laugh with certainty and confidence. Number three, she's committed to sharing wisdom. And I love this verse, and it's one of those verses that's kind of hard to understand because everything that's in it is not written in English. It says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And if there's a word I want you to write out beside that verse, it's the word kindness. It says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's committed to sharing wisdom. And number four, she is kind-hearted. When she speaks with kindness. You know, it's always interesting to get a phone call from mom because mom's always going to share some concern. And I can remember, you know, as an adult when something would go on I'd tell my wife, you know, I think my back's hurting. It's been hurting for a couple of weeks, and it's just a sign of aging. But my mom would call, and I could tell that my wife had passed that on to my mom. My mom had thought about it for a couple of days, and then she made a call to me, and she would always say, I don't know how I heard this, but is your back bothering you? And I would say, well, yeah, it's been bothering me for a couple of weeks, but I think it's just, you know, I'm just getting old, and I'm still trying to do some of the things I did when I was younger. And she said, well, where's it hurting? And I said, well, you know, it's just kind of right in the center of the back. Well, you probably need to get that checked out. That's just kindness, isn't it? Moms are kind and kind-hearted. Last thing is this. She's committed to following the Lord, and this is the best thing. Charm is deceitful or deceptive. Beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, I thought about this one a lot because this one was one of those that really hit home with me. Of all the contributions that a mom could make, the greatest one is this, to live a life that's so unmistakably committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your children know how to live for Jesus. Yesterday, I was after our funeral here, Christy and I went on the way home and stopped at Subway and got one of those quality meals, and we were sitting there sharing in the meal, and this young man about 18 years old, walked in with this young girl. First off, if you have girls, protect them, okay, from young men, all right? She walked in, and I tell you the first question that went into my mind, where is her mother? You know what I'm talking about? Because of the way she was dressed. Now, she was out on a date in the middle of the day, and I'm not sure where she was headed. But she didn't leave a whole lot to the imagination, if you understand what I'm talking about. And what I thought is, you know what? And I just stopped and prayed for that girl for a moment. Because I thought to myself, obviously she didn't have a mom that teaches her about Jesus. You know what? There is nothing more valuable in life. And there's nothing greater about being a mom than this. That you have the opportunity to live a godly life and pour that life into your kids. I can tell you this, there is no greater reward that brings pleasure to your heart in the lives of your kids than to watch them grow up and do things that honor Jesus. And know you got to be a part of that. Now, here's the last question. What do we do? Well, look at the end of this. It's kind of interesting the way he closes it. He says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You know what we're to do? We're to praise mom today. And this would be my challenge to you. And, you know, this is kind of just an informational kind of message, but this is the part of inspiration. You know, I want you to think of five things. Five things, guys. Five things, kids, that you can say to your mom. Five things that are words of praise. Mom, thank you for this. Thank you for being this. Thank you for doing that. You say, man, now you've done challenged us. This is horrible. No, it's just five things. It's not the long list. This is a short list. But I want you to think of five things. And today I want you to take an opportunity at some point in the day to sit down with your mom or sit down with your wife and say, let me just tell you something I'm thankful for today. Let me give you a head start. How many of you here today would have to say, you know what? My mom was very, very vital to me coming to know Jesus. How many would say that? Just raise your hand. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's just one thing on the list. You see, today's our day to say to our moms, say to our ladies, we love you. Thank you for living for Jesus. And thank you for loving me. You know, I want us to do another thing that we could just encourage you ladies for, and that is just to pray for you. And so I want to invite all of our ladies down here to the altar. And I want just to invite you down here to pray. And if you would, just go ahead and kneel here at the altar. And then I'm going to ask everyone else that's left, once they're down here, let's all just get together and hold hands across the aisles. And I want us to pray for them today. Didn't know there were so many moms in the room, did you? Wow. Just get as close as you can down here, ladies. Now let's do this. Let's, guys, let's all stand together. Let's reach out and hold the hands. And maybe you've got somebody special to you that's down here at the front. Why don't you just pray for them? Pray for what's going on in their life right now and pray for this upcoming year. Pray that God would use them in a mighty way to glorify His name. Pray that every day of their life would be an inspiration to others and live for Jesus.